Cook, you can take it away.
Okay, the question of the day today is, what kind of cookie? And then, let's see, Senator Schaaf. Senator Jorgensen. Senator Haney.
The question is favorite cookie?
Yes.
Probably macadamia nut.
Senator Johnson.
Classic chocolate chip.
All right. Senator Hippas.
I second Senator Johnson's assessment.
Senator Young.
The 20-cent ones you can get at Femme Fresh on Tuesdays, the sugar ones.
Senator Patterson.
I think white chocolate macadamia nut, but I'm also eating like lemon cookies right now.
Nice. Senator Alono.
I'd go with chocolate chip too.
Senator Lim.
Monster cookies.
Senator Jeremiahson.
Chocolate chip.
Senator Braun.
Oatmeal raisin.
And Senator Fest.
Snickerdoodle.
Senator Raghu.
Chocolate chip.
Speaker Ellingson.
Oatmeal raisin.
Chair Gruber.
Chocolate chip.
Chair Yang.
Sugar cookies.
Chair Carlson Sather.
Oatmeal monster cookies.
Chair Donna.
Chocolate chip cookies, but without the chocolate chips.
Chair Johnson.
Animal crackers.
Director Gupta.
Director Gupta is coming.
Okay, sounds good. Controller Johnson. Ombudsperson Menke.
Oreos, but exclusively double stuff.
Parliamentarian Boyden.
Toll House chocolate chip cookies.
Co-President-elect Concepcion.
Lavon chocolate chip bakery cookies because they have walnuts in them.
Co-President-elect Doran.
The raspberry chocolate chip cookies from the co-op.
Co-President Bakta.
The Kaff's M&M chocolate chip cookies.
Co-President Villarreal.
Oatmeal chocolate chip.
And Advisor Rubel.
Okay, hear me out. Arby's has these chocolate with sea salt, caramel, and pretzel cookies, and they serve them warm. So you must go out and get one if you haven't yet. I think they're super low in fat and super good for you too. I'm pretty sure.
And with that, we do meet quorum.
Perfect. And now we'll move on to the approval of the minutes. Are there any discrepancies with the minutes? Seeing none, we'll move on to community comment. And today we have Anthony Bettendorf with us from Residential Life. And we do have a document prepared for you, Anthony, with questions that some of the senators have come up with. So you can just give your little spiel and answer any of those questions that you would like. And we do have a 15-minute cap for our community comment, so just keep that in mind. And we will remind you, we'll give you a heads up as to when those 15 minutes are up. But yeah, you can go ahead and introduce yourself and we'll get the questions on the screen here.
Yeah, I think Brendan was going to perhaps read them. I just saw them like minutes ago when I logged in to join you all. So, but yes, I'm happy to answer as many questions as I can in the 15 minutes I've got.
Okay, are you ready?
So do you? I am ready.
I can just read them off.
Quick point of order. Just a quick point of order. We can extend the time by a majority vote if we want.
Sure.
So just putting that out there. Any of our voting members can move to do so, and then we'll take a vote on it once the 15 minutes are up. So just letting you know.
Okay. With that, the first question that was written was, how does Res Life publicize the opportunity to apply for off-campus housing to the student body?
We send out a lot of emails that include information about off-campus housing since we are a four-year residential college. We don't actually, like, there are six different qualifiers that automatically would release somebody from living on campus, but short of that, like, we try to keep as many students on campus as possible since being residential is part of kind of our core values. So yeah, there are emails that go out to folks. We hosted drop-in hours in our office this week. There were some electronic things that went out to folks. So a variety of different ways.
Okay. So these first few are kind of all around off campus. And the next one is, what is the process for someone to apply for off campus housing?
So to apply for off campus housing, a student would have needed to fill out the off campus form, which was due on March 20th.
Like regarding that, what are certain criteria that they like kind of need to meet or things they need to do in the application process though? Not for this year, but like, just in general that would qualify them to at least potentially be selected for that.
Basically, like, there are only six qualifiers, and I don't know that I'll remember all six off the top of my head, but like, if they've been doing active military duty, if they are married, if they own a house, like their name is on the mortgage. Did I say they're married already? I can't remember if I said that one. If they're going to be 23 by the first day of class, and I think I'm missing the last one, but those are the only six that would automatically qualify somebody for being able to like live off campus. Everybody else technically is on campus. And basically, like, we only release people if our our class size numbers would warrant us releasing people so we can get all of the first years on campus.
And then the next part's tied into that, and that's that of the group of kind of the extra people that are released, how is it decided who of the people who applied of the extra kind of get to have the off campus?
Sure. And that's a complicated process that it's not easy to quantify for you. It depends on the incoming class size, on the genders of different rooms. Like if we have a heavier female group coming in, like we may need to release more women than men or vice versa. And then we go by class rank on that. So we start with the seniors and we utilize like room selection information and that kind of stuff. But like, there are a lot of different factors that we take into account when and if we start that process.
Okay, and then I think the last one is, when do people who apply for off-campus housing find out if they're accepted for that?
Right, so this is how it had been done before I had arrived, and I don't necessarily know another way to do it. We basically need to figure out like what the incoming class size numbers are. So any students who apply for off-campus receive an email letting them know that we typically don't start that process until early June, late May, early June would be when we potentially would know that we have some people, and that process actually can go all summer. Because I think the last few people that we released last summer were mid-July. And that's just because that's when we knew that we were going to need that space and were able to offer them an off-campus opportunity if they wanted that.
Okay. The next kind of surround the accommodations in Room Draw. And the next is, how are housing accommodations generally handled, and are rooms designated for those that require accommodations, or are people with accommodations given a Room Draw time?
Nope. Accommodations are something that change from year to year, because we have to, if people have different medical reasons that they need accommodations, we need to work with meeting those. The only kind of designated space I would say that we have on campus is our single spaces, and those would be our rooms in Gibbs, which are single spaces, and we do have a very limited number of like single rooms in 2 6-person suites in Southwest that are usually put out there. But the rest of them, like, is kind of done on a case-by-case basis based on like what the accommodations being requested are. And we do have a committee that works and looks at those. That includes myself. It includes one of the doctors from the health center. It includes one of the counselors from the counseling center. It includes our dietitian, Jen Duncan. And she works largely on any kinds of dietary accommodations that people need, and makes determinations on, you know, if the CAF is able to meet their needs in the CAF, or if they might require a kitchen to do their own cooking. And then the last person is from our academic service center, and she is Katie Clay, who does the like classroom accommodations that folks would have. So that committee reviews all of the applications. We look through the information that is submitted from the students and then decide like what kind of accommodation needs they have, and then we work to give them a space on campus. So we actually do the accommodation process before room selection starts, because medically, under the ADA Act, we need to meet those accommodations. So we do that first, and then the room selection process would open up.
Okay. The next question is, how does Res Life work to promote student understanding in the Room Draw process itself?
So like I said earlier, we send out a lot of email communication to students. This year, our assistant director, Danny, who works chiefly on assignments because that's kind of his major role in the office, he had like several hours every day that he was available to talk to students in the office. He had a little table outside the office where he would answer questions, or students could come up and talk to them about specific situations. And he was also willing to, there were a lot of students who would email him, or like once students had to leave, like he did a lot of Google chats with people, helping them figure out if they were having issues, or like getting matched up with people. So he makes himself very available during room selection time to help students with that. And the drop-in times that he had daily for, he started those in January, I believe. So like for 2 months, I mean, essentially he was out there trying to make sure folks knew what was going on, so.
Okay, the next question is, regarding this, or the fact there were a fair amount of quad groups that didn't make it into a quad, and that is, will people who applied for the quad waitlist be taken off during the summer, and what will that process look like?
Yeah, so as we figure out like what our numbers are going to be, Danny will actually start moving people into spaces as they become available. So we may have some students between now and the end of the year who may decide they might not be coming back. We'll figure out our numbers of incoming students hopefully by the end of the month, so we'll kind of know like how many students do we need to house, and then we'll start taking a look at like, you know, do we need, like, for example, last year I think we released about 25 or 30 students who weren't like automatically qualified. And that number varies from year to year. I know it's There have been years that they haven't released any folks. And then I have friends who actually went to Gustavus 15, 20 years ago. And they, you know, at that point in time, enrollment was so large that, you know, they released a lot of people. So we'll take a look at who we need to release, and then we will start releasing folks. And as people accept like off-campus offers that we might make to them, Danny will start working on the wait lists and moving people into those spaces. And I would say, like, based on my experience last summer, there was a lot of shifting that happened during the summer. So people were being moved into four-person rooms. There were people being moved into doubles. Like, essentially across the board, he's working literally all summer on helping make that happen.
The next question is, as class size will likely continue to increase, how does ResLife plan to change the current room draw process, if they do, to minimize changing room assignments and wait lists?
Yeah, I think part of that will depend on like what the class sizes look like, but if we keep proceeding, like we've had both years that I've worked here now, we've had incoming class sizes of 650. The numbers from what I understand so far are looking good for next fall. And if our numbers continue to increase, what it probably will mean is that we probably might have flexibility to release more people to live off campus. So I don't know that that will impact the room draw process. Like, that process will probably go on as it has. We may have more people that we may be able to release to live off campus with the growing numbers of class size. And what I can tell folks is that this year is kind of the first year that that's happening, because the senior class that is leaving is the smallest that we've had. So every class size is going to be larger from here on out, pending, you know, whatever is coming for this coming fall. So those are good numbers, and that's good for the college, and probably will mean in the future, like, it's possible that more students could be released off to live off campus if we have enrollment numbers like that.
And then this is a bit more specific question, and it says, was Euler available during the room draw process, and like, why this year did it seem there were so many more quads that didn't kind of make it into the quads?
Sure. And there are a couple of different factors that play into that. I think, yes, Euler was available to be selected and chosen. I think that those rooms probably went fast. We did have, I ran the numbers for Joan S. We did have an increased number of students needing accommodations this year. And some of those were in four-person rooms. So I think comparatively speaking, between last year, there was a larger rise this year in the number of like students needing different accommodations that may have included four-person rooms. And then the increase in class size, I think, is probably the other factor that plays into that for this year.
Okay. And I think that's everything that is on the document.
Did I answer all of those? Like, if there were any parts that I missed, feel free to throw it back at me.
I think you answered them fine, but if anybody else wants like one clarifying point or two, I think that that's fine to ask for clarification on.
Yeah.
Yeah, we have like around 3 minutes. So if anybody else has any questions for Anthony or wants any clarification.
Sure.
You can, or if you want to say anything, Anthony.
No, I mean, I appreciate you all asking me to come and talk about this. I'm always happy to chat with you all about the process and that kind of stuff. And yeah, happy to answer questions that folks might have.
Well, thank you so much for coming in. I actually got to dip out because I got to register, but see you.
Did anybody else have any other questions or anything that I talked about that you were wanting further clarification on?
Okay, so I see co-president-elect Doran, you can say what you got to say.
Yeah, I received a question from a student that, like just before the meeting, they were asking about if some accommodations are prioritized over others, and sort of how the accommodation process works within that.
I don't know that I would say that we prioritize. Like I said, we do the accommodations process and do those room assignments before we jump into the main room selection process. Essentially, like by ADA standards, like we need to make sure that we're making the accommodations for the students. So based on my experience working with the committee, like there's not necessarily there's no way for us to prioritize different people's needs over others. Like our goal is just to meet those needs that they have to make their experience and living conditions as best we can. So literally like we go through each student's accommodations and then get information and feedback based on like the other folks who are on the committee when we make those decisions. And essentially like what we do is we approve, like if somebody made an accommodation request and that was approved by the group, then I work with Danny to see what kinds of rooms and spaces we have available on campus, and we make assignments for that person. So really there's not like a priority process for doing that.
Awesome. And then sort of as a follow-up to that, are accommodations, are people that are given accommodations, are they given a higher, like a earlier room draw time, or is a room set aside for them, like pulled out of room draw essentially?
Kind of along the lines of the latter. Like I said, we do the accommodations process first. So I go through with Danny, and essentially, like, if we identify that Gibbs 108 is the room that is going to meet the accommodation needs that you have, we'll make the assignment to that space. So there's, like, students who are applying for accommodations don't necessarily get to say, like, oh, I want to live in this building as a part of my accommodation. Like, to give a general example, like, somebody might say, like, an accommodation need might be for like they experience anxiety and they need to have a single space on campus. So like Gibbs would be a single space that would meet that need on campus. So that would be a space that we would assign for that person. So, you know, there might be somebody who, you know, for dietary reasons needs to be in a kitchen, needs to be in a space that has a kitchen so that they can cook their own meals because they can't eat the food that's in the CAF. So we look at what spaces are available. Like we have, you know, apartments in Arborview, we have apartments in Southwest, we have apartments in College View, we have apartments in Chapel View. And we try to make sure that we're spreading that out so that it's not like we're putting everybody who has an accommodation in Arborview, you know? I work with Danny to try to find spaces and kind of spread kind of the spaces, I think, with kitchens, because I think obviously those are the spaces students tend to like.
Awesome. Thank you. I yield.
All right. We have one more question for you, and that's coming from Senator Patterson.
Hi. So I was wondering, I had a good amount of just students and constituents ask me about off-campus living, and they were specifically concerned just about like general communication and transparency, and they were all super understanding of like the college's position that they have to house like all the freshmen first, and like it takes a while to like figure out who is going to be, like how many people can be off-campus, etc. But a lot of people were just asking for like enhanced transparency because like they'll apply and then they just feel like they're left in the dark for months. So if you could potentially incorporate that, whether it's just like a very loose timeline or maybe like monthly updates, just so people feel like they have a better grasp about what's going on and how they should personally proceed forward in terms of like looking for houses or not. I think that a lot of people would really appreciate that, and it would go a long ways for the students that are applying off campus.
Sure. I mean, I guess I'm always happy to engage with students if they have questions. When students apply, they receive it like when they apply for off-campus housing, they do get an email confirmation from us that basically outlines a loose process, which is we typically will find out what the incoming class size is in late May, early June. And at that point, we would look at, do we need to start activating the rooms, like the off-campus wait list, and releasing some folks from off-campus or not? And really, like, timeline, even loose timeline wise, that's about as much as I think that we can give them, because we generally don't know. And as we release people, like, I have to email them and find out, like, do they accept taking an off-campus space for next year or not? And if they don't, then I have to keep contacting people. So, like, I am always happy to talk to students and try to be as transparent as I can. That's just kind of a lengthy process, and I don't know that I can give them a lot more information than the general timeline I just gave you.
Yeah, that's fair. That makes sense for sure. I'm just going to, like, reiterate that it might be nice to just, like, have, like, an extra additional, like, check-in at some point. But yeah, other than that, thank you for coming in and talking with us. I yield my time.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, that is our time with you, Anthony. So thank you so much for coming in. And if any other senators have any questions for cabinet, feel free to email Anthony.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
thanks for having me. And I hope you have a good rest of the meeting.
Awesome. Thank you.
Bye-bye.
All right, so moving on. We are moving on to committee updates, and we will start with Environmental Sustainability Chair Yang.
All right, it's been 2 weeks since I've shared that letter I wrote to that I wrote about the replacement of the director of the Johnson Center. So I will be sending that letter after this meeting. I just want to give you all an update on that. I yield.
All right, and then we have Student Academic Affairs Chair Dunn.
Yeah, so I emailed Stephanie Otto asking about kind of what the steps would look like to rethink the ACT and FIT credits to make it more accessible. And kind of like I assumed, she can't really do much about it for this year, and especially with the new curriculum just passing. So she is willing to work with the person that has this position next year to rethink ways to make it even more accessible for students that are going to be seniors or like weren't able to take the wellness credit that they offered. And it sounds like she was more than willing to help kind of come up with ways to rethink it in the future. But because the curriculum just passed, I don't know if it's going to change in the ways that we wanted to see it change that we spoke about last week. Yeah, I yield.
All right, then we have Public Relations Chair Gruber.
Hi. So I know that I got charged last week to make an infographic about the Student Emergency Fund. And so I think right now Manali is working to share it with everyone. But I just wanted to add that I think it would be nice if perhaps an email could go out from the senators and the class reps to their constituents, sort of explaining a little bit more, just adding a personal note of how their constituents could use this fund with whatever they might need in whatever situations. I did email Charlie Potts about like specific examples, but he sort of broke it down to being, you know, it was hard to really pinpoint an exact example to give because every situation is unique. And the Dean of Students Office really wants to try and work with students to ensure that they have to work on a case-by-case basis is basically how you kind of explained it to me. So the senators and the class reps could send it to their constituents, I think that'd be awesome. And I could send that to the Senate list. I don't know. I don't think we can see it, Manali. I'm not quite sure, but yeah. Anyways, I will send that to someone. I yield.
Co-President Bakta, we cannot see the infographic. I think you have to slide it over, maybe. Or try to like exit out and then do it again. Yay, we see it. Cool. So like Chair Gruber said, this is what you will be sending to your constituents just so they get more information as to what this funding can be used for. All right, and then moving on. If Director Gupta is on the call, you can give your update. Let's see if he's here.
I don't think Director Gupta is on the call yet. Am I wrong about that? I don't think he's here.
Yeah, I don't think he's here either. I was just looking at the participants. All right, Ombudsperson Menke, if you're done registering, it'd be your time to give an update. But if you're still registering, we can just come back. You. And I think he is still registering.
Back. Were you talking about me or someone else?
Oh my gosh, yes, if you're ready. But if you're not, we can totally.
Okay, yeah, I'm good to go. Do you think I can start sharing again? Awesome, thank you. Cool. All right. So with the tech ombudsperson thing, I reached out to GTS recently. I reached out to Jesse at GTS. I haven't heard back quite yet, but when I do hear back, and if that is something that they feel like they can do, then I'll try to set up a meeting with someone from the finance committee, either Controller Johnson or Director Gupta, depending on availability. And then we can try to figure out how we can get this thing funded. So that's the only update I have for now.
Okay, perfect. Controller Johnson, do you feel comfortable giving the update for finance?
Yeah, I can do the update. Would this be including the budget or just the status on the emergency fund?
Yeah, just the charge that you were made with last week, just the fund part.
Yeah, sure. So we discussed it this past week with the finance committee, and we all agreed that we shouldn't make any large kind of statements about what we're going to be doing as far as the commencement travel refund goes. Just kind of wait until we see when commencement would actually be, and then we can start making decisions. We're thinking of allocating $10,000 for that travel reimbursement fund, but then also another $20,000 for a larger, more long-term impact fund to benefit students kind of coming out of the coronavirus epidemic.
Was that all?
Yes.
Perfect. All right, so we're going to move on to, are there any more updates coming from the cabinet? All right, seeing none, we can move on to old business. We don't have any old business, but does anybody else have any old business? Seeing none, let's move on to new business. We do have our budgets first on the list. I think Director Gupta is on the call now. Or not. I just admitted him in, but I don't see him.
Oops. I admitted him too. We must be having trouble getting connected, maybe, and staying connected. Yeah.
Controller Johnson, do you feel comfortable leading the process?
Yes, I can.
Perfect. Then you can take it away.
All right. So today we're going to be trying to approve budgets for allocations of larger than $5,000. Should I share my screen here?
I'll stop sharing.
Okay, share screen. All right, can we all see my screen? Yes? Okay, so the first budget we're looking at is dance team. I can pull that up here. If I can find it. Here we go. All right, so dance team is requesting a total of $15,924, and we are adjusting our recommendation to $6,970, largely because our new primarily competitive organization travel limit is $4,500. And so this is $4,500 plus some money for a coach and a choreographer for their competition dance. And correct me if I'm wrong, but I believe this is for, this is a roll call vote.
I don't think it's roll call vote. I think you can just go through all the budgets.
Okay, sure.
And then we can like mass vote them. Unless there, and I think there is one org that has a representative here who wants a, like a different amount allocated. So then they can, that's where a discussion will come. And that's like the only one that we will.
Just a point of order. Uh-huh. So our bylaws say that any allocations over $5,000 must be approved by a majority of the body via a roll call vote.
Okay.
So I think because this is an individual allocation, you might want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or
we will do that. Thank you, Ombudsperson Menti. Okay. You rock. We will do that. So yes, Alex, you can keep presenting and we will do the 2/3 vote. Okay. Once we're ready.
I'll pull up the budget. This is the request.
Awesome. So are there any questions? Senator Patterson, I see your hand is raised.
Yeah, I was just wondering what we have funded previously for the dance team, like last year?
Previously for the dance team, we funded an amount of $7,640.
All right, sounds good. Thank you, I yield.
All right, and then I saw co-president-elect Doran's hand raised.
Yeah, so first a point of personal privilege. Alex, can you go back to the line items for the, awesome. So I see that there's a couple items. The one I'm looking at specifically is the first line item, which is the practice tank tops for $337. $10, or is this something that the team is going to continue reusing? And if so, is it something that we've allocated for in the past and they're just getting new versions of it? Or like, what's the...
Yeah, so organizations kind of have what's called like currently allocated like Senate capital. And those are, you know, that's like capital, or those are items that Senate has funded that they're going to be reusing in the future. And I imagine that these are all tank tops that members of the team are going to continue to use during practice, during their tenure at Gustavus.
Cool. Works for me. Just want to make sure we're reusing them because we can't refund. I mean, we cannot fund take home items, but seems like they're going to be using it for continually. I yield.
All right, and Chair Yang, did you have your hand raised?
Yes, I did. Do you know if, or does anybody know if the Gustavus dance team does any personal fundraisers for their events and their competition? I yield.
So it looks like the team does their own personal funding with dues, but then also kind of each dancer will fund their own travel costs, to which point whatever student doesn't fund or Senate doesn't fund. But as far as I'm aware, they do not do any other fundraising events.
I yield.
All right, any further questions or any motions? Senator Hippis?
I motion to ignore the rule requiring a roll call for the budget approvals.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second goes to Senator Johnson. All right, there we can start a discussion.
I yield my time.
Is there any discussion about that? Seeing none, we can move to a vote. All those in favor of dismissing. Oh, sorry, yes.
Votes to override, ignore bylaws, they have to be a roll call vote.
Yes, thank you, Senator Young. All right, so for roll call vote, we will just go to our participants and you can click yes or no. I hope this works because I hope everybody can kind of see it.
Point of order, but I think for a roll call vote, you need to like say everyone's name. Yeah, you have to call name by name.
You will.
Another point of order. I have this pulled up. So the Senate can override these guidelines with a 2/3 vote. It doesn't necessarily say anything about a roll call vote. So we could probably just do a voice vote for it. Save us some time.
Let's just go with the voice vote.
All right.
All right. All those in favor of dismissing the 2/3 vote during this budgeting process, say aye.
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 All those who oppose, say nay.
Nay.
Those who abstain? All right. The motion passes. All right, so were there any further questions for this budget that we are on? Okay, I don't see anybody's hands raised. All right, so let's move to a vote. Okay, so all those in favor of approving this budget, say aye.
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 All those who oppose say nay. Those who abstain. All right, that budget is approved. Controller Johnson, whenever you're ready to present the next one.
I believe Suyash or Director Gupta is actually in the call now, so I'm going to let him take over.
Perfect. Thank you so much for taking initiative on that. Director Gupta, whenever you're ready.
Do you guys see my screen yet?
Yes, we can see it.
Yeah?
Yes.
Okay, awesome. Sorry about that. That was some technology issues. So I kind of just figured it out. But my computer might get slower since Zoom is working on it. So please bear with me and have some patience here. So are we done with the dance team budget yet or no?
Yes, we just approved that one.
Okay. Nicole should be in the call and she wanted to discuss about the budget. Will she be talking at the end of our budgets or right now?
If you want to present that budget right now, that would be awesome.
Okay. So for dance team, they requested an amount of $15,924. However, the finance committee only feels comfortable funding an amount of $6,970. So I'll just try to pull up the dance team's budget here.
Hey, Director Gupta, I think we just approved that budget. Unless that was...
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you well. No, I was just wondering if Nicole is in the call because she wanted to talk about...
Point of order, sorry.
Sorry, point of order.
Yeah, I think the speaker for the dance team was on the call but had left. But I think she's getting back on right now. I don't know if it's too late because we already voted or not.
Mm-hmm. So we did already vote. Yes, she did already vote. I don't know if we can go back on that. Ombudsperson Menke, can we do that or can we not? But we did already vote. So from our attention, we just move forward.
Yeah. I mean, if we want someone, if someone wanted to approve more than we already approved, they could make that motion. But
point of order, Nicole was on the call at like 7:20 and I kept her in the waiting room. So she waited a long time. And I don't think it's her fault or problem that we didn't realize she was connected to the dance team. So I'd like to see us figure out a way that she can be heard. And, you know, considered.
How about we move forward with a few budgets and as the dance team hops in, then we can bring the dance team budget back on track.
She's in the waiting room right now. She's in the waiting room right now, so I'm going to readmit her right now.
Oh, okay. Thanks, Megan.
So for that, Ombudsperson Menke, you did say that someone would have to motion to re-vote on this budget.
Well, we can't. Like, we've already voted to fund what the finance committee has recommended. So the recommended budget, we've already funded that.
Mm-hmm.
If we want to allocate more funds, more of what they requested, then that is up to us.
Okay, cool. So we can kind of re-present this.
If we really wanted to. Yeah,
I think out of respect... for Nicole, even if we're not voting anything, I think just letting her speak about the dance team budget, even if we don't like vote on anything else, I think is fine. So,
yes, perfect. I agree. Thank you, Parliamentarian Boyden. So is Nicole on the call at the moment? Nicole?
Can you hear me?
Yes, perfect.
Okay. Perfect. I'm Nicole, and I'm one of the captains of the Gustavus dance team. Looking at the budget, I know you guys just voted on like what your recommended cost was, but I'd kind of like to brush on the fact that we have like a performance team versus a competition team, which I think sets us aside from a lot of different organizations on campus, because we apply as one team, but we're actually split up into a competition team versus a performance team, and we apply as one team, because most of the costs come from the competition fees. So I realize that we're allotted like the max amount of money for travel, and we were allotted money for costumes this year for competition, and then for a coach. And as a member of the team, I'd like to like re-verify how important it is to us to have a coach versus a coach as well as a choreographer, because they both do different things to the team, such as like the coach will keep track of the organization pieces, like sending us to nationals and really make sure our dances are clean enough to be sent to competitions. And then the choreographer will pick out music for us and give us choreography that they think will score well with the judges. And in the past, like the past 10 years, we've had the same choreographer, and she would give us a really good deal. So we would fund this out of our own pockets because she charged $1,000. But the last 2 years, she stopped choreographing for us, and we didn't realize how good of a deal she was giving until we looked into other choreography options, and the cheapest we could find was around $3,000. And I think that's just a little bit infeasible for 12 members to come up with $3,000, as well as paying for some of the other fees that we have. Because at a competition, you're judged on technique, choreography, performance, and how your costume looks on stage. When we did not have choreographers this year or last year, our score as well as our placement at nationals drastically decreased. In the past, when we had a choreographer, we would consistently get second place at nationals, which we were proud of, to be a D3 school getting second or third place. And the last 2 years, we got like eighth place and last place as a result, because we thought that we could take it upon ourselves and maybe try choreographing a dance that would be fitted. But we would really like to send a dance to nationals and all the other competitions this year that we're really proud to represent Gustavus by, because a lot of high schoolers come to the competitions. We have local ones at St. Ben's and St. Thomas that a lot of high schoolers watch, and they help take this into consideration while they're choosing a school to attend for Gustavus. So we would hope to benefit our dances and bring new Gusties into the school with this. I don't know how much extra money could be given towards a choreographer, but if there's any room in the budget, we would really appreciate any extra money.
Thank you, Nicole. Are there any questions for Nicole? Or any more?
I have one. Can I go ahead?
Yes.
Yeah, I was just wondering that, in your opinion and in the club's opinion, what amount of money, if not the entire amount, would be a successful amount for your organization this year?
Yeah, I mean, clearly I think the most you guys are willing to give, I know that $3,000 is a lot to ask for, and that is a pretty overwhelming number for a choreographer. But I think maybe even $1,000, if you guys were able to chip in that amount, or $2,000, so maybe we could come up with the rest.
Okay, thank you. Are you?
Senator Young?
Yeah, you'd said that there is two organizations that are, that fall under just the one?
Yeah.
The competition one and the non-competitive one?
Yeah.
Okay. So, given that, I'm just thinking out loud at the moment, I think it'd be okay to allocate, another $1,000 and then another, $1,250 for travel. Cause if they'd, applied as separate organizations, one as a competitive org, they would get the $4,500 amount. And if they'd applied then as a different organization, so I don't think that the two groups should necessarily be punished for having applied under one organization. So with that in mind, I move that we approve, $2,250 an increase to the Gustavus Dance Company's budget.
All right, is there a second?
Second.
Second goes to Slater.
Sorry, it's not the Gustavus Dance Company. It's dance team.
Team. Right? Sorry. Yeah, sorry. There's the two, and I always mix them up. And there's the dance team, which has two components to it.
Okay, so second goes to Senator Patterson and the discussion of allocating 2,200 more begins. You still have the floor, Senator Young.
Yeah, 2,250 divided amongst 1,000 to coaching and the tag that we had of coaching and support staff, and then the 1,250 to travel. Yeah, I think it. That they would be receiving those amounts if they'd applied separately. So I think it is fine to increase as one organization over what we have originally allocated.
Just a point of information, in our previous recommendation of $6,970, we already have recommended $1,000 for professional help. For coaching or choreographers, so this $1,000 would be another $1,000 for professional help.
Yeah, I yield.
All right, any further discussion on this motion? Seeing none, we can move to a vote. All those in favor of allocating the amount that Senator Young just said that I cannot remember, but I hope it's written down somewhere. Say aye.
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 Those who oppose, say nay. Those who abstain. All right, perfect. That passes. Congratulations, Nicole. I hope this helps your organization and you can hop off this call, and we appreciate you for coming in.
Thank you guys so much.
I just want to make sure before, sorry, Nicole, just want to make sure that, so we will be approving an amount of $9,220 for dance team for their next year's budget.
Thank you so much.
All right. And with that, we can move on to the next budget. Director Gupta, whenever you are ready.
Awesome. So moving on, we have equestrian team. They requested an amount of $5,510. The Finance Committee recommends an amount of $5,510 to fund the entire request that the equestrian team has requested for. I can just pull up a budget for the senators. Right. So they have requested $1,500 for registration, travel, and lodging. They requested $2,500 for capital improvements, buying shoes and stuff and equipments they need for horse shows. And then they have requested $1,000 for a coach and $10 for printing. The entire amount comes out to be a total of $5,510, and we recommend that entire amount here. I open the floor to any questions from any of the senators or cabinet members.
Are there any questions? Seeing none, we can move to a vote. All those in favor of allocating this amount recommended by the Finance Committee, say aye.
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 Those who oppose, say nay. Those who abstain. All right, the budget passes. We can move on to the next one.
Awesome. So the next one here is GSNA, Gustavus Student Nursing Association. They have requested an amount of $6,039.92. However, the Finance Committee feels comfortable in recommending an amount of $1,305. So $6,000 is mainly for the traveling and parking tickets that the students in the nursing program have to pay for when they travel to the cities back and forth. And then the $39.92 is basically for cookies for two of their events. For non-competitive organizations, we can only fund up to $1,250 for traveling. And then we also fund $40 for their cookies allocation, and we fund $15 for printing. So that's their entire amount. I can try to pull up the budget right here. Right, as you can see, $6,000 for clinical transportation. We recommend an amount of $1,250. These two are for snacks and cookies for two of their events. We recommend those entire amounts. And then for printing, we recommend $15 because that's the cap for this year. The total comes out to be $3,105. I yield for any questions on the budget.
Are there any questions? Advisor Rubel.
Director Gupta, do you know, have we funded this travel in the past for this organization?
Yes, we have. Similarly, as we are doing this year, we funded the cap of $1,100 last year.
Okay, thank you. I yield.
Any other questions for Director Gupta? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor of allocating the recommended amount from the Finance Committee, say aye.
Aye.
All those who oppose, say nay. Those who abstain, the budget passes. Move on to the next one.
Next is Men's Club Hockey. They have requested an amount of $22,600. However, we feel comfortable in approving an amount of $9,200 from the Student Senate. So this is their breakdown. They have requested $1,000 for coach. They have requested $3,600 for game officials. They have requested $12,600 for transportation to off-campus events, and $2,400 for hotel night stays, and then $3,000 for annual dues. The total comes out to be $22,600. Looking at the bylaws, since we feel comfortable funding $1,000 for the coaches and $3,600 for game officials, and we sum up all these four line items into a $4,500 cap that we have on registration and traveling and lodging. So the entire amount comes out to be $9,200 for men's hockey.
Was that it, Director Gupta? Are you ready?
Yeah, I'm sorry, I yield.
Are there any questions for Director Gupta? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor of allocating.
Sorry, I was a bit late. Could I ask a question still?
Yes.
Okay. So our bylaws say that we can't pay any dues set upon organizations.
Yes, that's correct.
I just wasn't sure. Does the recommended funding include any of the funding for dues?
No, it doesn't.
Okay, sounds good. I yield.
All right, any other questions? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor of allocating the amount recommended by the Finance Committee, say aye.
Aye.
All those who oppose, say nay. Those who abstain, the budget passes. We can move on to the next one, Director Gupta.
Thank you. So next is Men's Nordic Ski. I will just put up the budget right here. So Men's Nordic Ski requested an amount of $9,237. However, the finance committee feels that we should fund an amount of $7,415. This is their budget recommendation, budget request right here. They have requested a $1,000 trail fee. They have requested $6,322 for traveling and lodging and off-campus accommodation. They have requested $1,300 for practice, $600 for capital improvements, and $15 for printing. We basically feel comfortable in agreeing all of the line items except the $6,322 because we have a cap of $4,500 for registration, lodging, and travel. So we just reduce this $6,322 number to a $4,500 and sum those up together to a total of $7,415. I yield.
All right, any questions? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor of allocating the recommended amount from the Finance Committee, say aye.
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 All those who oppose, say nay. Those who abstain? The budget passes. We can move on to the next one.
So next up is Men's Rugby. They requested an amount of $6,315, and the finance committee feels comfortable in recommending the entire amount of $6,315. This is their budget request. They have requested $4,500 for traveling and lodging, a total of $180 and $820 for professional help, which meets our cap of $1,000 for professional help. They have requested $800 for shields, which they aim to do as a capital improvement for their organizations, and a $15 for printing. The sum of these numbers come up to $6,315, and we would like to recommend an entire amount. I yield.
Any questions for Director Gupta? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor of allocating the recommended amount from the Finance Committee, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Aye.
Aye.
All those who oppose, say nay. Those who abstain?
Abstain.
The motion passes. We can move on to the next budget.
So next up, we have United States Institute of Technical Theater. This is a newer organization on campus, and they have requested an amount of $8,890, which is mainly for traveling. I will just pull up the budget right here. So looking at their budget requests, it seems like they're traveling and shops, and it is mainly for travel. So for a non-competitive organizations, we have a cap of $1,250 for traveling and lodging. And therefore the finance committee feels comfortable in recommending $1,250 instead of the entire amount of $8,890 here. I yield.
Senator Young, is your hand raised?
Director Gupta, I thought in our finance meeting that we were not dealing with this budget this week, as our recommended amount was actually below the cap of 5,000, so it would be into the omnibus remainder.
I see, but we did that for Model UN because that model, isn't it based on the requests? If the requests are over $5,000?
No, it's based on if we want to allocate over five, that we have to do specific roll call votes. Because I didn't know if anybody had reached out to them about the number that we had given them.
Yeah, I personally send them all of these organizations the recommendations, and they agreed on, they feel comfortable getting $1,250 for this year.
Oh, that's fine with me. I just, I was under the assumption they had not been contacted, but I'm fine with moving forward and voting on this. I just wanted to give them the opportunity. In that case, I'm fine with the recommended amount and I yield.
Any other questions? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor of allocating the recommended amount by the Finance Committee, say aye.
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 All those who oppose, say nay. Those who abstain? The budget passes.
Moving on, we have a budget from Women's Nordic Ski. Similarly, as Men's Nordic Ski, they have requested a similar amount of $9,237. The Finance Committee feels comfortable in recommending an amount of $7,415. I will pull up their budget right here. So similarly, looking at all these line items, we basically just have an issue with the $6,322 request, since we have a cap of $4,500 for registration, traveling, and lodging for competitive organizations. So we reduce that $6,322 number to $4,500 and then add those together to a total of $1,400. I yield, sorry.
Are there any questions for Director Gupta? Senator Hippis?
Yeah, I forgot to, or I didn't get to ask this for the Men's Nordic Ski, but was the full amount of travel expenses approved for this academic year? Or was the 4,500 figure approved for this year for the both Nordic Ski groups?
Mm-hmm. So last year, the cap was $4,000. So an amount of $4,000 was approved for traveling and lodging instead of 4,500. This year, we made a bylaw amendment to increase that number from 4,000 to 4,500 for competitive organizations. I yield.
All right, thank you. I yield too.
Any further questions? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor of allocating the recommended amount by the Finance Committee, say aye.
Aye.
All those who oppose, say nay. Those who abstain? All right, the budget passes. We can move on to the next one.
So the next budget here is women's rugby. They have requested an amount of $12,710. However, the Finance Committee feels comfortable in recommending an amount of $7,710. This is their budget request right here. So we basically feel comfortable in approving all of these line items except these two at the bottom, because they have requested this money of $2,000 and $3,000, in total $5,000, and this is only when they qualify for the regionals and nationals. So in our recommendation, we would like to suggest that in case the women's rugby team qualifies for these regionals and nationals, the Senate can fund them later on, since these amounts are not they don't know yet if they need it or not, like they might need it, and that's why they're requesting. So That's why we have decided to not recommend these two amounts as of right now. But in the future, if they need it, they can come back to the Senate and request those funds, and the Senate can make a better informed decision on these two amounts. So we basically feel comfortable in all of these amounts, which sum up to a total of $7,710, except these last two amounts. And that is the discrepancy in their request and recommended figure of $5,000. I yield.
Any questions for Director Gupta? Seeing none, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor of allocating the recommended amount by the Finance Committee, say aye.
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 All those who oppose, say nay. Those who abstain?
I abstain.
All right, and the budget passes.
Next up, we have the Student Senate's budget that needs to get approved for $48,304. I will just pull up this budget right here. So this is the budget for Student Senate right here. We have requested $35,000 for the Gus Bus, $43.50 for general expenses of stipends for the cabinet members and printing money. We do a campaign for Take Your Professor to Lunch in the fall and the spring, and the costs for that total up to $2,700. We fund some of Gus student supplies for $1,000. We fund the day at the Capitol for $900. We fund $360 for a personality test for the cabinet members. This year, we are doing this new. We are trying to provide shuttle bus for general election day. And for the presidential debate day, we are trying to fund some pizza and snacks. In the end, we have a request for $3,659 for a leadership conference that the co-presidents-elect have requested for, I think, two of their cabinet members to go to a conference. However, we feel that this amount, like, we would like to bring it down to $1,250 rather than approving $3,659, as it would stay within the bylaws of other non-competitive organizations for traveling and funding. However, and we have talked with the co-president-elects regarding this amount, and they feel comfortable with that, and they're looking for much cheaper options for those leadership conferences. So we have a requested amount of $48,304, and we recommend $45,895. I don't know why my keyboard is not typing. Oh yeah, there it is. Yeah, do you guys see it? This is the recommended figure for the Student Senate's budget for the year 2020 and 21.
Yeah, we see it. All right, are there any questions for either Director Gupta or the co-president-elects? Co-president Bakta, I think I see your hand raised.
Yeah. So for the ASGA DC conference, is that something that'll happen next year? Could you, for the co-president-elects, could you expand on that, please?
Yeah, so I can talk a little bit about that. So we originally found that when we were looking for different conferences to look for leadership development opportunities, and we really we found that one thought it would be good, and Megan took some more time to ask other advisors and an advising group on Facebook for student government, and found that it actually didn't have that great reputation for a conference. But we'd already submitted the budget, and so after we found that out, we basically decided to scrap that idea and then try to look for some other ones. So as of now, we found a different online virtual conference that looks like it'll have a lot, like a different sessions within like different weeks. That cabin members will be to take from their house, and we'll still be able to do registration for that. But this way, instead of having two cabin members go for like a national conference, it'll be cabin members will be able to attend different weekly sessions from their home. And so that we're hoping would be down to the $1,250 instead of the original like $3,600 that's on there. So we found a different option that we're going to be pursuing instead.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can I add to that?
Yes.
Yeah, the conference this summer is sponsored by National Association for Campus Activities, or NACA. That's what CAB is heavily involved with, and they're really legit. Their offerings are really legit. So we just got a schedule last week, and we got prices last week for the first time. And they vary between $100 and $150 per person. Per session. So actually, if we did want to make sure that all of the cabinet members could attend, then probably $1,250 is a little too small. And so I know I can't really ask for more or anything. You all need to do that, but I might ask for consideration of between like $1,500 and $2,000. But that would allow like all 14 cabinet members who have expressed interest, is my understanding, Haley. They've all said that they would like to be able to do that. And it's a student government specific conference that the Senate group here tonight might consider a higher amount than $1,250. I yield.
All right, I see co-president-elect Doran's hand raised.
Yeah, so to sort of speak further to what Megan was just talking about, we feel that, you know, as Senate, we want to be able to invest in our leaders. And one of the things that we're really focusing on is making sure that our incoming cabinet is as up-to-date and well-versed on the climate of student government as possible. We're looking specifically at having both specific cabinet members and then also having attend some sessions of this summer institute and then having some sessions be open to all cabinet members. So like we're trying to have our public relations chair attend the marketing one, and then we're trying to have as many cabinet members as want to attend the 2 weeks on diversity, equity, and inclusion, which I think are broken down into identity and then also advocacy and allyship and activism, which we think are going to be super cool and helpful. And then having everyone attend the week that is specific to student government. So I think that, you know, if we are limited to the 1250 allocation, we'll make it work. But I think that in creating a strong student senate for next year, we want to think about how we are able to invest in ourselves and invest in being able to better serve the community by just increasing the amount by a little bit. So that's sort of my plea to y'all. And with that, I yield.
Are there any further questions? Chair Johnson.
I was wondering, like, what made you decide that this would be the best way to, I guess, not qualify, but strengthen the next cabinet? If that makes sense?
I can talk a little bit about that. So this is something that Haley and I have talked about with Advisor Rubel for a little bit now. We have a couple main focuses as co-presidents, and one of them is continuing to support leaders within Gustavus, and that means, you know, supporting our own cabinet. And one of the things that's kind of common practice within student governments that Gustavus hasn't bought into because of our own funding bylaws is having leadership in conversation with other institutions. Like, there are ways that we can learn from other institutions that we aren't right now, because we aren't attending these conferences. And so I think getting off of the hill, getting outside the bubble, and learning from both experts in the field and our own peers would be really helpful and beneficial.
Thanks.
Are there any further questions? Seeing none, we can move to a vote. All those in favor of allocating the recommended amount by the Finance Committee, say aye.
Sorry, can I make a motion first?
Yes.
I'm going to motion to move the budget up to $2,000 for the student government thing. Sorry, I don't remember the name of it, but
perfect. That's all we need. Is there a second?
I second.
Okay, second goes to Senator Hippis.
I'm sorry, who made that motion?
Senator Hest.
Okay, thank you.
And second goes to Senator Hippis. And now discussion can begin about this motion. If there's any talking points, Senator Fest, you still have the floor if you want to.
Sorry, I yield.
All right. Is there any discussion on that motion? Seems Co-President Bakta?
Yeah, I think that it's a good idea to get off of Gustavus, like get out and like see the rest of the how other schools definitely like do their student government, because it is very different. And we might think it's all the same, but I think that we would learn a lot in terms of like trying to move forward as an institution, especially with a lot of the initiatives that we've already like discussed in the past, like modernizing like our technology, or like trying to be more like trying to push DEI work forward in terms of like where it's happening in the country. So I would support that. Also, the Minnesota Association of Private College Students is also an organization that I'm a part of. I know that this year we had to like try to get back into it. We were always in it, but then like it was like a state last year, they didn't even take the initiative to have a representative on MAPSIS, but on MAPSIS, like, we're able to learn from St. Olaf, we're able to learn from Carleton, what they're doing. So all of those, like, MIAC schools, basically. So I will be talking to the co-president-elects if they want to serve as a representative, or if they want a certain cabinet member serve as a representative for next year.
Perfect. Any further discussion?
Can I say something?
Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah. I just want to say I think this is a really good motion. There are some instances when fairness stops the Finance Committee from moving away from the bylaws. We try to, and the bylaws like sometimes prohibit us from recommending amounts that the Finance Committee would make feel very much initiative of approving. So I feel like this motion is good and is in best interest of the next year student senate, and I yield.
All right, any further discussion? Seeing none, we can move to a vote. But before we vote, so Director Gupta, what is the amount that we are allocating now?
46,645.
All right, let's move to a vote. All those in favor of allocating $46,645 to student senate, say aye.
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 All those who oppose, say nay. Those who abstain?
Aye.
This one, and the budget passes.
So that was all the budgets for today. We have to talk about a charge that the Finance Committee had last year. The last meeting. it was the charge for the commencement travel aid and the impact fund that we want to have for the Student Senate. So here we have at the bottom the proposed amounts for the travel aid and the long-term impact fund that you want to establish as the Student Senate. What you want to try to do with this amount is basically form a new nine line so that this amount just stays in that nine line and can be used whenever possible. So this is what we propose first for the commencement travel aid, that we allocate this amount of $10,000 to a new nine line and then have this money accessible for any student that lives 350 plus miles from campus and is senior and is trying to come back for commencement. So this $10,000 is only accessible for seniors who are living 350 or more miles from campus. So since right now we don't have an exact date for commencement, we don't want to start receiving applications as yet for requests for these funds. What we want to do is have this established as a nine line and have the carrying over finance committee know about the establishment of this fund. And as soon as the next year's Senate finds out the commencement date, then maybe they can start receiving applications on this fund. Does that make sense? Since we don't have the date right now, then people might not be sure as to when the commencement is happening and when they would actually need these funds. So we want to try to just reserve these right now and wait until we have a date for commencement. I yield.
Are there any questions? Actually, I have a question. Director Gubita, can you re-explain what the long-term impact fund would be for? Sorry, I think I...
Right, I didn't do that yet. So I was just explaining the commencement travel aid and trying to finish with that first and then get on to the impact fund.
Okay, perfect.
If you have any questions about the travel aid, I'll be happy to answer.
Okay, perfect. Well, I yield. So co-president-elect Doran.
Hi, so to just sort of figure out what you're talking about. So that is a set amount, like we're setting that amount, but then we're not going to talk about it until, like, publicize it to students until we know the commencement date, or is that a flexible amount?
So right now we are on the second last meeting for Student Senate. So it's hard to make decisions on those funds as to which student will be receiving it. Firstly, because the commencement date is not finalized yet. So what might happen is, like, if we get a commencement date of August, specific students can come and specific students won't be able to. So it really depends on the date as to what students will be able to come to commencement and then request those funds. So we have delayed that decision-making process as to decide, like, who will be receiving those funds and like when the applications to start. So once we receive that date, then the finance committee can work on sending out an application for people to apply for these funds and then make a decision regarding what applications we have.
The understanding that finance committee, which will in during the summer be comprised of a controller and director, will likely have to make these decisions later on once we are done meeting as a full Senate.
Right. So that's a really main point, that the finance director and the whole committee, of course, would be making that decision, but those decisions would be conveyed to the Student Senate via email for sure over the summer.
So, like, over the summer, we don't have a Student Senate. Just to clarify that, because, you know, you sort of retire your office at the end of the last full Senate meetings. During the summer, we only have the cabinet for the next year. And that means that also we are allowed to convene the finance committee, but the finance committee is only made up of the director and controller. that's something to be aware of. I don't think it's going to be an issue. I trust the future director and controller to make informed decisions. And of course, co-president-elect Concepcion and I will do our best to clue in the rest of the cabinet. But beyond that, we won't have any student input.
Right. Yeah. I think that's a really fair question as to the functioning. But as mentioned, the future director and controller could be in charge of looking at this fund, and I could always be helpful with Advisor Rubel. So yeah, that's, I yield with that.
All right, Ombudsperson Menke.
Yeah, so is the finance committee suggesting that we set aside this $10,000 to the discretion of the new finance director and the new finance controller that'll take office at the end of the year, and that they'll be able to make the decisions during the summer about who will be able to receive the fund?
Right. I think we suggest that in addition to supervision of Advisor Rubel.
Okay.
Yeah,
sounds good. I yield.
Co-President Bakta?
Yeah, I know that it is a very like complicated line between like who gets to have discretion over this fund. So I definitely agree that the new finance committee, along with the help of Advisor Rubel and previous director Gupta at that time, can make informed decisions because there won't be a functioning finance committee itself, just two people for the next year's cabinet. So it might be like, obviously it'd be more helpful for the cabinet for the two finance people for next year to get input and help from Advisor Rubel and previous director Gupta. I yield.
Senator Young.
In our finance meetings, we had talked about the limits that we would want on the fund, and the ideas that we had was firstly for the seniors, and then for anyone over 350 miles, basing that off of the residential life's policies for leaving storage stuff. So it's just a previously established distance for conditionality from the college. Or being considered far away, I should say. And our other ideas, planning and talk for distribution was that once we had a time, we would reach out to students would be reached out to and asked what sort of funding would be necessary for them. And then if that total amount was over the 10,000 that had been decided upon, by whatever percentage everything needed to be reduced by, we reduce each individual student's allocation by that same percentage so that there wouldn't need to be much actual discretion from the finance committee or just the director, that it would be preset how much that across the board everyone would be reduced by a set percentage to get down to the 10,000 total. That would alleviate any questions about specific about students having to make specific decisions about specific students as to how much money they receive from this fund. And if there's any other like ideas for the conditions, we can set those now if any other senators have ideas. We can make any decision for how we want the money to be allocated. We can leave it to the discretion of the committee, but we don't have to. I yield.
Co-President-elect Doran.
Yeah, that's super helpful. Thank you for that input, and we'll make sure to help make sure that's passed along. With that, I'm really comfortable with this decision then. I yield.
Right, any more questions about the commencement travel aid? Seeing none, Director Gupta, you can move on to explaining the long-term impact fund.
The long-term PAC fund is something that we want to establish with the extra funds that we have rolling over for this year. So as Megan presented the idea that that we can establish a fund that isn't really governed by the Student Senate guidelines and can really fund circumstances that are very unique and can be funded for individuals or organizations that want to provide something different or don't necessarily get funding for in basic general fundamental guidelines of Student Senate. So we recommend an amount of $20,000 to be established as an impact fund, which is not necessarily governed by the Student Senate guidelines as of right now. And these amounts to be recommended to organizations on a case-by-case basis by the whole Senate and not just the Finance Committee. So coming in next year, if there's an individual group of individuals or organizations that wants to do an event that they don't have money for, which is something unique, which is not governed by the Senate guidelines, that we cannot fund that organization or group of individuals by the Senate funds. We have this fund of $20,000, which is not governed by the Senate funding guidelines, but the Senate can make a vote on this funds and help that organization or help that group of individuals. One of the ideas that was brought on the floor this past couple meetings was the computer rental plan, which we could fund with this impact fund, and then maybe that rental plan creates a better impact for students on campus and serves them in a greater good. So this money can be used for basically anything and is not governed by Senate guidelines, and the Senate can make decisions as to how they would like to use this money. So we want to put this amount in a separate 9 line for next year, and I yield.
Senator Johnson.
Just to clarify something here too, for Ombudsperson / Tech Chair Menke, this is what we were considering using funds for the laptops. And so that's just something that I figured that you'd want to know. So yeah, I yield.
Ombudsperson Menke.
Yeah, that really helps. I went through some options today as for what laptops we could use. And they have these rechargeable carts of 32 Chromebooks for $500. So if we spent if we get like 10 of those, that's like 300 computers, which is a lot. So, you know, I think that would be a really good place to put our money. And if GTS is okay with it, then I think that's a really good idea. So I support it. I yield.
Senator Lim.
Hi. So I know that we've all been coming up with like different ways to brainstorm ideas to use the Senate surplus, and definitely ways that can benefit the entire Gustavus community. And one idea that has come up recently with speaking with a few other senators and constituents was working with the Indigenous Relations Committee. We have been planning for a proposal for Francis, who's been working very closely with us. The IR committee has recently sent in a proposal for the change in directorship for the Johnson Center for Environmental Innovation, which does oversee Big Hill Farm. So essentially the proposal originally was essentially for Francis to kind of take that position, and then the IR committee was essentially aiming for about $10,000 for his work throughout the year, which was what we paid him this year. And this would really give back to the students, because this would build relations through learning about Lakota history, learning about land history. Francis would be able to teach classes, and that's essentially what we would pay him for, and essentially as well as tending the farm with Big Hill Farm and then leading that. And ideally this would also offer course credit for students who are interested in taking on this new and innovative project. And so unfortunately, so the IR committee did send in that proposal, but unfortunately it was denied. It said the response mentioned that it was being considered for summer 2021. But unfortunately, that work still needs to be, and we feel that it still needs to be continued into the following year. And unfortunately, currently there is no plan for set for Paying Francis or for really the IR committee. And so I just thought I would offer this idea, essentially motioning to potentially a charge. to look into if this could be a possibility within how we use the surplus money, because it would be going toward Francis Big Hill Farm and essentially the greater Gustavus community. I yield.
Co-President Bogta.
Okay, yeah, so I actually met with MAPSIS this weekend, and we actually talked about two of these things, so such a coincidence. The first with Ben's technology charge and like buying those laptops. Other schools have already started doing that, so that's something to keep that in mind, like Carleton, McAllister, because they know that this virus is not gonna go away. They wanna be proactive about it, so they've already started this year renting out laptops to students, and also like paying for their internet packages. And it's been very like convenient, and it's a very efficient process too. So I think that just using our Senate money for that is a good idea. Another thing with the Reconciliation Committee, McAllister, I know, has started implementing programming focused on trying to educate students about the land that they do, that the college is currently situated at, and that includes having like a statement in front of all of their, at the beginning of all of their syllabi about just a brief statement about the land and who it truly belongs to. So I think that this itself, like both ideas are just very great, and I am in favor of senators thinking in the best interest of both of these ideas, and I yield.
Ombudsperson Menke.
This is a question for Senator Nguyen. So are you proposing that we possibly pay this person for their service?
Essentially, Francis has been kind of the main advisor and like leader for the Indigenous Relations Committee. And I believe the proposal was essentially to have him take on the new change of directorship for the Johnson Center, because we just saw a lot of the Johnson Center being for environmental innovation. We saw a lot of that going, and then also working with Big Hill Farm. A lot of the conversations and discussions that we would have in our meetings would mesh really well with a lot of the same goals for the center. So that was kind of the idea, was that he would not only like continue the work that he's been doing already with IR, but he would additionally be teaching classes that could be offered as part of the curriculum, offer credit for students, and essentially potentially even a work study.
Okay. And then I have a question for Advisor Rubel, just because this sounds like if we do all of this, there might be some contractual sort of issues. Is this something that we can do?
Yeah, I was thinking about that as it was coming up. I think there's a lot of considerations that we don't know about. I do think that we couldn't say, yeah, we want to use our student money to pay this particular person to do this particular job, you know? So like, for example, which isn't a great example, but maybe it's relative, you know, everyone talks about, boy, we wish there was more counselors in the counseling center, right? That'd be so fantastic. So Senate someday, which again is not a good example because you'd have to make a long-term commitment to doing this and you couldn't, but like, okay, so we want to take our $50,000 and we want to pay a three-quarter time counselor next year, and we want it to be this person. Like that's where it jumps even further into the like, ew, that gets a little bit sticky, actually a lot sticky, versus we're funding this position or this initiative and we're trusting the college to choose the best person for that. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think so. I think that helps. And so I feel like, you know, this sounds like a really good idea and like, you know, it's valuable. It's a valuable thing. I think it would be a valuable service to the Gustavus community to have someone like that, you know, teaching us a very valuable, really very important subject. But I don't want us to get caught up in contractual issues if that were to happen, because that could put a lot of things at jeopardy, I think. So I feel like we should, you know, try to be cautious moving forward with this idea and just making sure that we can do everything that we want before we do it. With that, I yield.
Chair Yang.
Yeah, I guess I have a question for Ombudsperson Mankey. So do we know how many students would utilize, or an estimate of how many students would utilize the rent out, the service that we're providing with this fund?
No, we don't. Or at least I don't have access to that information. I don't think that's something that Gustavus keeps track of, but then again, I'm not sure. I think the Academic Technology Committee might discuss that at some point, but I'm not a member on that. I've been thinking of ways to try to, you know, survey how many people do have access to technology, but, you know, there's obvious like self-selection, which is like people who don't have access won't be able to answer the survey, and so they won't be counted. So that's kind of a difficulty. But I mean, more is probably better just to be safe. And that's something I think GTS and I could definitely work on. But I don't really have any estimates, but that's a good question.
Chair Yang, do you yield?
I actually have one more point of discussion that I wanted to add. And yeah, I really like the idea that Senator Lim pointed out or shared with us all today. Just because being the Environmental Sustainability Chair of Student Senate, I'm constantly looking for different ways of environmental sustainability and how we can advocate for a more sustainable and a more environmentally aware campus. And to have an Indigenous person come to campus to lead workshops and even a classroom about what Indigenous knowledge looks like can be really impactful for students. And it kind of tackles two birds with one stone, right? First, we learn about environmental sustainability, environmental affairs, and different ways to connect with nature. And the second, we learn about Indigenous reconciliation. And I do know that there are institutions across the nation who are doing very similar type of work, bringing in Indigenous folks to come in and work with students about these different issues surrounding reconciliation efforts and sustainability efforts. For example, the University of Minnesota has a traditional medicine gardens, which is fully run by the Indigenous community up there. And it's been really successful in building community across different communities. So the proposal that Senator Lane brought up is something that's really appealing to me. And I would really appreciate it if the Student Senate tries to find a way to get a possibility. I yield.
All right, any more questions or discussion points before we move to a two-thirds vote? Co-President-elect Doran?
Yeah, I think speaking directly to sort of the question about how do we go in ethical, because I think that this is something that we should be supporting as students, and I think that it's something that we don't normally get the opportunity to pursue as a Senate, and I think that this is a unique opportunity that we can look into this. I think that possibly giving this money to the Reconciliation Committee would allow us to give them the money to fund the necessary workshops while also making it a little less sketchy, for lack of a better word, than just paying one individual. Would that, I mean, this is sort of a question for Senator Lim. Do you think that will be a way to achieve our goals?
I absolutely do think so, because the IR committee actually has been reaching out to different departments and such to actually just try and pay Francis for this year. So we're always open to that, I think.
Awesome. Then I think that this is something that we should consider more strongly as a Senate, and I think something that we deal with, you know, improving the student experience at Gustavus. I yield.
Can I say something?
Yes.
I just wanted to mention that today we are trying to establish these funds as a separate line, and then more conversation on the proposals as to how to use this money could be done at a later meeting, possibly the next one or next fall. So I yield.
Director Gupta, I have a question for you, actually. Well, I guess this is kind of a yes, it's just a question. So this, if we were to like fund money for this, this committee that Senator Lim is talking about, they could request that money from the long-term impact fund, correct? Because that fund is just open to anybody.
Right.
So yeah, I think that if that is something the Senate is interested in, they could request that money once we approve this budget.
Once we approve putting these funds in a separate line as a long-term impact fund, with the clause that this money can be requested by anyone at any point in time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping possibly in the coming fall, because we just have one meeting left. If someone has a proposal for that meeting, I think we can definitely have a conversation on that in the next meeting. But I hope I answered your question. Is there something more?
No, I think that clarified a lot, that money just can be used for anything that students are interested in. Okay, perfect. So are there any more questions or discussion points before we move to a two-thirds vote? I don't see anybody's hands raised. So sorry, give me a second. Administrative Director Cook, if you could do roll call. And it's, we're moving to vote if we want to pass this budget. So you can either say aye, nay, or if you abstain. Administrative Director Cook is gonna call all of your names, just give an answer. And then hopefully whatever the outcome is, we will move forward from there. Administrative Director Cook, whenever you're ready.
Second. Okay, Senator Shaw. Senator Haney. Senator Johnson.
Aye.
Senator Hippis.
Aye.
Senator Nelson. Senator Young.
Aye.
Senator Patterson.
Aye.
Senator Alono.
Aye.
Senator Lim.
Aye.
Senator Jeremiahson. Senator Braun.
Aye.
Senator Fest.
Aye.
Senator Raghu.
Aye.
And Senator Jorgensen. Okay, is Senator Haney no longer in the call?
No, I'm right here. Sorry, I couldn't get my mic unmuted, but
okay, I'm sorry. Okay, perfect. Let's see. Okay, and then is Senator Jeremiahson in the call?
She currently is not, but could somebody text her?
Because I have remarked that she was here earlier, but otherwise, then I don't know if we would still meet quorum if she's no longer here.
If anybody can text me. Okay, sounds good.
I'll text her.
Right now we have 10 senators that responded.
I just texted her.
Thank you.
How many senators do we need?
I thought it was 11, right?
I think there are 11 if you called my name.
Who's speaking right now? Sorry.
Speaker Ellingson.
Oh, okay. Actually, I think you're right.
Speaker Ellingson.
No. Sorry?
Since you're a senator, you can just say aye or nay.
Aye.
Okay.
Then I think we're good.
Perfect. The budget passes. Yay. All right. Next item on our agenda is approving the College Committee Student Representative list, which we will pull up. And basically, we just look at the list. These are all of our peers who have signed up to be in these committees. They're basically just student representatives. And we take a look at the list. If we want to discuss anything, we can. And after our discussion, we can just move to a vote to approve the list. A lot of the students on this list are or were in Student Senate, as you can see. And there's also students that aren't, so it's bringing both perspectives of people who are in Student Senate and those who aren't in Student Senate, so it's wide range of perspectives. So if anybody has any questions, Advisor Rubo.
Oh, thank you. I believe in talking to Joness and getting some updated information, we are going to table the approval of the Academic Technology Committee to next week. So that's the fourth one on there. Yep. So that one will be tabled to next week as it requires a little bit more discussion, and that we'd be voting on all the others.
Okay, perfect.
I yield.
So are there any questions or discussion points? Seeing none, all those in favor of approving this list besides the Academic Technology Committee, say aye.
Aye.
Say nay. Those who abstain?
I abstain.
All right, the list passes. All right, And I totally skipped over this mid-year allocation, but we are right back on track. Director Gupta, if you want to present that, you can go ahead.
A mid-year allocation? I am not aware if there's any mid-year allocation today.
Or co-president-elects, if you are presenting this. Or if we're not presenting this.
We, as co-presidents-elect, we are not allowed to ask for budget allocations. So this was a budget allocation that we talked to the co-presidents about that should have been submitted to Finance Committee. So I don't have any info about it.
Yeah, so I think there was some miscommunication then. And we will have it ready. We'll discuss this with you another time. We'll have it ready for the next meeting.
Point of information, the conference that's at money's being asked for is this Friday and Saturday. So this was actually supposed to be considered last week and it wasn't. And so it's gonna need to be considered this week or we're gonna need to break our rule about retroactive funding.
So I'm just a little confused and I don't really know how to move forward. So if but the person Mikey could give us any advice, I'm not exactly sure.
I don't know either.
Yeah.
I think I don't know. What exactly is this for?
Yeah, can I ask what is the mid-year allocation for?
Yeah, so we've discussed this a little bit at a couple different Senate cabinet meetings, and then we've also brought it up, I think, briefly when talking to the finance director about our plans for the upcoming year. This was a conference that to have our new cabinet attend a preliminary student government conference hosted by the University of Florida. That was recommended to us by Advisor Rubel, and we discussed during our Senate cabinet meetings having this budget brought forward as mid-year allocation because Director Gupta said we could not ask for it in our upcoming budget because the conference occurred during current academic year. And so this was something we have discussed previously, and unfortunately, co-president-elect Concepcion and I don't have any control over whether or not that budget is submitted because we're not currently the co-presidents. With that, I yield.
Senator Young, did you have something to say?
Yeah. What was the question for the elected, the incoming co-presidents? What was the amount for the conference? I couldn't remember. I remember you guys came in and talked about it in our finance committee meeting, but I couldn't remember. What's the amount for that again?
$154.
$154? Okay. I move that we allocate $154 to the Student Senate to pay for attendance for the incoming cabinet to attend this leadership conference. The original intent, I remember, was that this was going to be taking place in person in the fall or next spring. I can't remember which one, but it had been canceled. And so now it has been moved online, if I'm remembering correctly. And so it is now happening in this calendar year. So we need to approve the money for this year. With that, 158, okay. Then I friendly amend my own motion to be $158. With that, I yield.
Second. Perfect. Second goes to Speaker Ellingson. We can begin a discussion about these funds. If there is any, or you still have the floor, Senator Young?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I accidentally yielded before the motion, which meant, but yeah, it's just a matter of getting the money since it got moved to this calendar year. It technically can't go on the budget we approved earlier for next year. So we're just doing it now. I yield.
Perfect. Any other discussion points?
I think what we can do, since this is less than $200, so we already have some funds in this year's Senate budget, that is not used yet. So we can just like do a transfer for them. So.
All right, and we will move to a vote. All those in favor of allocating $158 to the incoming cabinet to use for a conference, say aye.
Aye.
All those who oppose, say nay. Those who abstain? Perfect. That money is allocated. All right. Is there any further new business? Seeing none, we can move to announcements. Are there any announcements? No. Oh, Co-President Bakta.
Okay, so next week, sorry, this is going to be quick. Next week is our last Senate meeting, so obviously this is not how we want to end, but like it'll probably be a short meeting, but please come because I want to see your faces and I want to say goodbye to you. Okay, this is so sad, but you know, we want to say goodbye to you, so I yield.
And we also have to approve some more budgets, so please show up so we can meet quorum and get fly through those budgets and have our last Senate meeting and hip hip hooray, we will be done. All right, since there's no further announcements, I adjourn this meeting. Peace out. Thank you all for staying and for being such champs.